Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Billionaire's Fortunate Blizzard by Tammy Dearen. Narrated by Jennifer Jill Araya. Chapter 1. Carly. Carly tried not to stare as she slid into her assigned seat. After all, her mom had taught her manners before she passed away. But a quick glance told her the man sitting beside her in seat 2A was hot. She could only see his profile because he was typing madly on his computer, but she'd definitely had way worse seatmates on previous flights. Maybe this was an extra benefit of sitting in first class. If so, it was worth the extra cost. Her last flight, she'd been wedged between a teenage boy whose arms and legs intruded into her space and a woman who gave her a 5-hour sales talk on subscribing to her Perfume of the Month Club, a hard sell since the sickeningly sweet aroma permeating from her almost drove Carly to use her barf bag. "Ma'am?" The flight attendant, a willowy blonde, bent toward Carly. "Can I get you a pre-flight drink?" She wasn't thirsty, but she didn't want to waste one of her first-class perks. "I'll have a ginger ale, please." "Sir, would you like a drink?" The blonde added a sultry growl to her voice, obviously experiencing the same allure Carly did.
"No thanks," he murmured, his fingers moving rapidly across the keys.
Pursing her lips, the flight attendant moved on, but Carly suspected she hadn't given up on her pursuit. While 2A was occupied with his computer, Carly took a moment to appreciate his broad shoulders, which were situated a good 6 inches above hers. The guy was built. Definitely not like any of the engineering nerds she'd ever interacted with. And he looked vaguely familiar. He could be a professional athlete or even a movie star, and she would never know. She seldom came out of her lab at the medical center. His jawline would have been perfect for one of those razor blade commercials with the uber-masculine guys who make women swoon when they rub their freshly shaven faces. The advertisers must figure wives will buy those blades, hoping a shave will transform their husbands into sexy hunks. She hadn't seen his eyes yet, but she had a feeling they would be smoldering. This guy was so hot, just looking at him heated her blood. On the other hand, she would probably think that about any red-blooded male right now, since her only relationship in the past 4 years had been with Max. And the fact that I just thought of my electron microscope as a guy proves I need this break. Carly ran her fingers from her forehead down to her temple, then gave a quick tug on her hair. That's how she thought of it, as her hair, even though it was actually a wig. And sitting beside the world's hottest guy, single from the looks of his empty ring finger, she wanted to be certain everything was in place. He would never suspect that she'd lost all her real hair during her 20s as a result of having alopecia. Carly now wore wigs in a variety of styles and colors, making no effort to conceal the fact of her hair loss from the people she interacted with every day. Hand-tied, with a lace front that made the edge disappear, the wigs were undetectable, even close up, and so secure she could put her hair in a ponytail if she wanted. But wigs like that didn't come cheap. The 5 she owned averaged about $2,500 each. She couldn't wait until she was out of grad school and making enough money to add to her collection. As the plane taxied toward the runway, the flight attendant called for attention. "If everyone will watch me, I'll show you exactly how to operate a seatbelt, on the off chance that none of you have ever ridden in a car." Everyone chuckled, except her seatmate, who furrowed his brows and typed even faster. Had he missed it, or was he a grouch? My luck, he'll turn out to be Mr. Grumpy Pants. Carly was glad she'd chosen her red bob, the one that made her the spitting image of pop star Faye Fortune. It couldn't hurt to look like the famous singer when she was attempting to catch the attention of Mr. I'm Hot But Busy Typing. Of course, she'd brought her tame brunette wig for when she was speaking. She preferred that any attention from her presentation would be directed at her research
rather than her looks. But she would have 3 whole days to herself before the conference even started. She always preferred to be by herself this time of year, and the chance to see fall colors for the first time in her life was an added bonus. Though, currently, the scenery is better from where I'm sitting. "Here you are, ma'am." The flight attendant, whose name tag identified her as Layla, delivered a can of ginger ale, along with ice, in a real glass. "Has anyone ever told you that you look like Faye Fortune?" Carly smiled. "Sure, I've even posed for selfies before." "Oh, if you don't mind posing, that would be fun." Layla pointed to another attendant. "Simon would love it, too." "No problem." Layla turned her attention to Hot Guy, and her cheeks flushed. Her hands smoothed the front of her uniform. "I hate to bother you, sir, but you'll need to put away your laptop until we're in the air."
"I will."
He nodded and typed even faster.
"Almost finished."
The attendant didn't move, probably gawking at the masculine scruff along his broad jaw, the same way Carly was. "I'm sorry, sir, but..."
"Just 20 more seconds."
He graced her with the briefest of glances, but it was enough to heighten her blush.
"Okay."
She leaned over and lowered her voice. "But you'll have to make it up to me." Was she outright flirting now? Didn't she realize this guy wasn't the type to respond to such brazen tactics?
"You can count on it."
He must have glanced at her name tag.
"Layla."
Shameless flirtation worked. Maybe I should try it. Fanning herself, the flight attendant left. Carly felt the same heat and reached to open her overhead vent. She couldn't resist the urge to peek at his laptop screen. He appeared to be writing an email. He added an attachment, then hit send. Head still down, his chest expanded with a deep breath. Evidently done with his task, he closed his laptop and tucked it in the bag by his feet, sliding it forward just as the plane turned onto the runway. Then he ripped off his tight pullover, leaving behind an even tighter short-sleeved t-shirt stretched over the bulging muscles in his arms. This resulted in another spike in her internal temperature. Since he still wasn't looking, she pulled the neck of her shirt out to let some air in. She might have cooled off more if she'd simply quit ogling him, but that wasn't likely to happen. He must have felt her gaze because he spoke to her.
"Hard to believe it'll be in the 20s when we land in Chicago, considering how hot it is here in Houston."
He stretched his arm above him to adjust his air vent, providing a delightful view of his well-formed biceps. Carly found herself grateful for the crazy heat wave that gave him the incentive to strip off his outer layer. "I've never seen it get this hot here in mid-October." Considering the current state of her brain, she was pleased to have put together a relatively intelligent sentence. The engines roared and surged forward, pressing her against the seat back as the plane accelerated, then lifted into the air. He folded the pullover in his lap.
"Are you going to Chicago for business or pleasure?"
For the first time, he turned his face to look directly at her, and her heart stopped beating. It's Liam Bennett. No, it can't be. She forced her mouth closed and attempted to swallow. Impossible with her mouth full of cotton balls. "Both." Her word came out like a wheeze. Averting her face, her mind raced. It couldn't really be Liam, could it? He'd been 16 the last time she'd seen him, a junior at Highland Park High School in Dallas. She wouldn't recognize him after all this time, would she? But what if it was him? She couldn't let him figure out who she was.
"Are you nervous about flying?"
He nodded to her hands, the knuckles white where she gripped the armrests. She loosened her fingers, her eyes darting to his and back. "No, I mean, yes, I mean, just the takeoff." "Drat! I should have said I was nervous about the entire flight. It would have given me an excuse to sit here with my hands over my face."
She ducked her chin, but stole a quick peek when he didn't appear to be watching. On second glance, the man didn't look that much like the Liam she remembered. She grabbed the airline magazine from the seat pocket in front of her and flipped through it, keeping her face turned away. But then she felt the heat of his gaze.
"You remind me of someone," he said. "You look so familiar."
"It must be Faye Fortune. Everyone tells me I look like her." His eyes narrowed as he focused on her face. She was sweating, and it had nothing to do with the temperature.
"I'm not really a fan of hers, but you do look a lot alike. That must be who I'm thinking of."
"I've never been to Chicago," she babbled, her nerves making a weird catch in her voice. "I'm planning to tour the countryside a bit and see the fall foliage for a few days. After that, I have a conference." Then she made a mistake. She was aiming for a brief glimpse, but their gazes locked. His eyes are green, like Liam's. Her stomach roiled like the time she'd eaten 3 bags of Cheetos while studying for a final. "Please don't let it be him." She jerked her eyes away, leafing through the magazine again.
"Your magazine is,
His finger pointed to her lap.
"It's upside down."
"I know that." She jutted her chin out and flipped another page, wondering if there was a limit to how much blood your body could pump into your face. "I've been practicing reading upside down."
"Why?"
She could hear the smirk in his voice, but she refused to back down. "I might apply to work for the CIA. I want to include upside-down reading as one of my skills."
"I see."
He made a coughing sound that was suspiciously similar to a laugh. If she didn't redirect the conversation soon, the heat radiating off her body would fry him to a crisp. "What are you doing in Chicago?" she asked.
"I'm going to a conference, too. Maybe the same one as you."
"The biomedical engineering convention?" Her gaze strayed to his face again, and this time his dimples came out. They were Liam's dimples, no doubt. They hadn't changed since she'd memorized them 16 years ago by staring at his high school yearbook picture for hours on end. "He looks exactly like Liam. But how can that be? Liam is paralyzed below the waist. But the guy sitting beside me now looks like an athlete. Could his spine have regenerated?"
"Yes, the biomed convention."
"You're in the biomedical field?" She tried to catch a surreptitious look at his legs, but there wasn't much to see. He had on jeans, and his pullover was still covering his lap. She had no way of detecting whether his legs functioned. But she was increasingly certain this man was Liam Bennett, the guy she'd had a crush on since her freshman year of high school. "The man who hates my guts."
"I own a company that makes advanced prosthetics."
She was shocked to think of Liam owning a business, a successful one that afforded him the luxury of flying first class. Her own seat was thanks to her doctoral advisor, who'd surprised her with the upgrade. Her professor had been quite pleased when her research had garnered national attention and snagged them an invitation to speak at the conference. "What's your company's name?" She stuck her elbow on the seat rest between them and propped her chin, still using her hand to shield her face. She had to keep her identity a secret for the next 4 hours.
"It's called Advanced Engineering Prosthetics, AEP for short. We have a partnership with Limitless."
"Limitless? They funded the research for my doctoral program." She was so excited, she forgot to keep her face hidden. His head angled to one side.
"Are you sure we haven't met before?"
"I'm sure we haven't. I'd never forget meeting a guy like you." She let her words die, wishing she could do the same.
"A guy like me? What do you mean, exactly?"
A suspicious furrow formed between his brows. Her pulse fluttered like a bird. "No, like a bird with a gun to its head.
and a cat sitting in front of it, licking its lips. I mean, you're very memorable. She couldn't think with her pulse pounding inside her head. Because you have very impressive, She'd blabbered herself into a dead end. Anything she said to complete the sentence would get her into trouble. She certainly couldn't mention how huge his muscles were. And she didn't dare mention him having paraplegia, since she only knew that fact through personal knowledge of the accident. A brilliant response came to her in the nick of time. Very impressive fingers.
My fingers are impressive?
Okay, maybe it wasn't so brilliant. Absolutely! I've never seen anyone whose fingers move as fast as yours do, and so precisely. When you were typing that email with the flight attendant breathing down your neck, that was amazing! She motioned with her hands. Zippity, zippity, zippity! Wish I could do that! I might get my thesis finished early!
I had no idea my typing skills stirred such emotion.
Merriment danced in his voice. His dimples winked into view again, and her heart sank. She'd once longed for him to smile at her like that. How many hours had she daydreamed that her older brother's best friend would suddenly notice her and ask her out, then profess his love? But that was before I ruined his life.
By the way, I'm Liam Bennett.
His confirmation put a lump in her throat the size of a potato. He stuck out his hand, and hers trembled on the way to shake it. His touch shot lightning bolts up her arm. Must be from guilt. I'm Carly's... She turned her last name into a hacking cough, her mind racing to come up with a replacement for Simpson. Carly was safe, as Liam would have known her as Lottie, her old nickname, and no one ever used her full name, Carlotta. But a last name? She coughed a few more times, garnering some stares. People probably thought she was contagious. Carly Simon! He blinked.
Carly Simon? Like the singer?
There's a singer named Carly Simon? His brows knitted together and went up.
You have the same name as a famous 70s singing star, and no one's ever mentioned it before?
It was fortunate that Carly had no plans to become an attorney, as she'd clearly proven she possessed no ability to concoct a plausible lie. Someone might have said something before. I can't remember. Maybe I'll lock myself inside the bathroom for the rest of the flight. Chapter 2. Liam. The Houston to Chicago leg of Liam's flight was proving to be much more pleasant than the first. If he'd noticed how attractive his seatmate was when she'd first sat down, he might have ignored that urgent email from his supplier regarding defective photovoltaic sensors. He pondered Carly's magnetic draw as he lowered his tray table. No stranger had ever had this effect on him before. There was simply something about her that put him at ease, made him feel he had nothing to prove. Perhaps the feeling stemmed from the fact that she was unaware of his paralysis. Whatever the case, he had a few more hours to enjoy her company before he had to return to reality. "Here's your meal." Layla leaned past Carly to put the plate directly on Liam's tray. "I made sure it's hot. Just the way you like it, right?" He'd quickly tired of the flight attendant's suggestive comments. She'd been with him on the previous leg of the flight from New Orleans to Houston, and seemed to feel it gave her the right to flirt with him.
"Thank you, Layla. You've got me figured out."
Liam responded with smiles and friendly teasing, though he wasn't attracted to her in the least. He'd learned early on that certain women were more offended by his rejection than that of a man without a disability, no matter his dress, education, or physical attributes. It was as if he, being partially paralyzed, ought to be grateful for any attention he got,
and his lack of interest was perceived as the ultimate insult.
I'm guessing mine is probably ice cold, Carly mumbled, her lips rolling in to hold back a smile. Or poisoned.
She frowned at Liam's laughing response, holding a shushing finger to her lips, as if she weren't the one who caused it. He laughed even harder, loving the blush of color on her face. Her rosy cheeks were lovely against the soft gray of her eyes. Though he'd had to work hard even to observe their color, since she'd mostly avoided his gaze. Still, something about those smoky eyes was like deja vu. He supposed they must be the same color as Faye Fortune's, though he'd never paid much attention to the popular singer.
I'm afraid Layla isn't my type.
Liam leaned his head close to Carly's, getting a whiff of her fresh scent with hints of strawberry. He'd almost been turned off by her seemingly airheaded comments and behaviors. But as they chatted, she explained she was working on her thesis and had barely slept in weeks.
Been there, done that.
He understood why she was loopy.
Where are you staying in Chicago?
He chewed a piece of sirloin steak. Tasty, but tough. Definitely not worth the extra cost of flying first class. Yet it wouldn't faze his bank account. Thanks to his buddies, who'd encouraged him to buy stock when Phantom Enterprises first went public, he could more than afford to blow money on such luxuries. The larger first-class seats also made it easier to maneuver in and out of a wheelchair.
I'm renting a car and driving up to Door County in Wisconsin for the next few days. The fall foliage is supposed to be beautiful there.
She breathed in deeply, closing her eyes and licking her lips as if anticipating the pleasure. Liam tugged at the suddenly tight collar on his t-shirt, imagining her reaction if he kissed those lush lips of hers.
What's wrong with me?
He gave himself an internal kick in the rear. He wasn't in the habit of obsessing over a woman's lips, especially one he'd just met. The intensity of his physical attraction to Carly surprised him. He'd had a long dry spell since his last serious girlfriend, Elle, who'd supposedly left him to pursue a newfound passion for mountain climbing. Though he knew for a fact she was still biking, the sport that had originally brought them together. Through the grapevine, he'd heard his paralysis was simply too much for her to deal with. He didn't hold it against her, since he often felt the same way. It was the fact that she'd lied that had left him with a bitter taste. Why hadn't she told him the truth? He had no respect for people who weren't honest. Elle hadn't been the first to reject him solely because he had paraplegia, but she'd been the first who'd fooled him into thinking she loved him as he was before pulling the plug on their relationship. For a change, it was nice to get to know a woman without his physical limitations factoring in. Yet he probably shouldn't let it go too long. He could imagine rolling up to her at the conference and saying,
Hi, remember me? I'm Liam. On the plane, I neglected to mention I have paraplegia.
He would tell her soon, but not yet. He had plenty of time.
Where did you grow up?
He added some salt to the broccoli. It seemed like a safe question, but Carly's hands quaked as they tucked her hair behind her ear.
You don't have to answer that if...
No, it's fine. She pushed her mashed potatoes around on her plate. We moved around. I graduated high school in Houston. Her curt nod told him the subject was closed. For some reason, he was more intrigued than discouraged. He wasn't ready to give up.
What do you like to do in your spare time?
The corner of her mouth twitched. Spare time? What's that? I'm a grad student, remember? She chewed a bite of food and swallowed, her profile showing off her cute, turned-up nose. This is the first break I've had in 4 years. My computer and I have started going to couples therapy. He smiled, only partially because of her joke. He liked knowing she wasn't in a relationship. It definitely pushed the odds in his favor. It was the perfect opportunity to test her interest with a tease that wouldn't apply much pressure.
What's he like, your computer?
What's my computer like?
Yes, I always try to know my competition.
He waggled his eyebrows and laughed to put her at ease. But it didn't work.
Your competition?
Her throat worked as she gulped, her head shrinking between her shoulders.
Hey, I'm not trying to pressure you or anything. I just thought we might meet for lunch or something, during the convention.
I don't think that's a good idea.
She pressed her napkin to her lips, her eyes closing. Her summary rejection sat on his chest like a set of 50-pound dumbbells. Was it possible she somehow knew about his disability?
Do you mind if I ask why?
Trust me. If you really knew me, you wouldn't want to spend any time with me.
He wouldn't have believed her were it not for the tear that escaped before she whisked it away with the back of her hand. But that moment of vulnerability told him she was hiding something deep, something that made her feel unworthy of love.
If so, we may have a lot in common.
Appetite gone, he tossed his napkin on his plate.
We all have faults, Carly. That perfect image, the measure we set for ourselves, is unachievable. When I first found that out, I thought my life was over. But accepting yourself for who you are is only the beginning. The key is finding friends who love you and accept you as you are.
Wow, you're good.
She swiped her napkin across her eyes. I should have brought my computer with me. We could have skipped couples therapy.
Carly,
I get what you're saying. I really do. But sometimes you can't escape your past, no matter what you do. Fluid shimmered in her misty gray eyes.
Some mistakes can't be undone. The best you can do is shove it out of your mind for a while, but you can't really forget. And if your mistake hurts someone else, you shouldn't forget.
His gut cramped. He understood all too well.
The drunken accident that left him paralyzed had taken his best friend's life.
Yes, Ben had been driving the car, but only because Liam had consumed even more alcohol than he had. When he thought about it, the guilt was almost unbearable. Ben's family probably hated him. All the more because Liam's father sued them while they were still grieving his death. His dad pushed long enough to bankrupt them, then gave up when he realized they had no assets to seize. His dad's actions had driven an even deeper wedge between them.
I agree with you.
The words barely eked through his tight throat.
Some mistakes are unforgivable. Good people can do horrible things. But you have to move past it. You have to look for the good in everything that happens.
She nodded, blinking hard to dry her eyes.
Thanks, Liam. You're a good guy. Too good for me.
No use in delaying. He might as well lay it all on the line and tell her about his paralysis.
Carly, 16 years ago, I was a bitter man. You see, I have paraplegia. It happened in a car accident.
She kept her face tucked down, but he saw her shoulders flinch, her hands fisting in her lap. Was she shocked, surprised, repulsed? It was hard to gauge her reaction. He still wondered if she'd somehow deduced his disability before he'd told her, but he would never know.
But then I went to this computer camp for kids with disabilities. Even though I only attended one summer, the kids I met there changed my life. These four guys had been going every year, best friends. One had been blind his whole life. The second guy knew he probably wouldn't live past his mid-30s because he had cystic fibrosis. The third had lost his leg to a cancer that could come back at any time. And I bet you'll recognize the name of the fourth guy who was born missing an arm. Cole Miller.
She gasped, whipping her face toward him. Cole Miller? The guy with the lime green arm? The billionaire who owns Phantom Enterprises.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?